Your work week is over.
The plant called and said, if you don't come in tomorrow, don't bother coming in Monday.
Woohoo! 4-day weekend.
This is The Last Word, the off-season home of the Colts, with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor.
Welcome into The Last Word. Every week right here on 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan, we're bringing you updates on the Colts. We'll continue that through the draft. Plenty of coming at you for this upcoming draft. You know who we're doing that with? The voice of the Colts. Glad he's here. You make things comfortable, Maytay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm all about comfort. How you doing,
Let's
pal?
Let's go. Put the flip-flops on, get in a hammock, and off we go. We
take these work clothes off. It's the weekend.
Telling you what, getting ready for this draft, kind of getting excited. We got something going on up in Fishers, I think. Something at Topgolf on draft night.
Yeah, Thursday, April 25th, Topgolf with the official draft party. And then the sweepstakes are on right now. Check it out, JeffreyColts.com. One lucky fan plus a guest is going to win three nights in Detroit, all expenses paid.
Bam!
You're going to be literally feet away from Roger Goodell making all these picks.
Roger, give him a big bear hug maybe, too, while you're up there. Hey, I'm just saying, it's going to be exciting. And
make it a good one, Raj.
And check out Colts.com for the latest information. Coming up on tonight's show, here's the good news. Julian Blackman, he is back. He is back, Maytay. This is a big one.
Reportedly now. Reportedly. That's where we're at
okay?
right now.
I'm just saying. We're going to go over that. We're going to hear from Brian Mason, the special teams coordinator of your Colts. There's some rule changes going on in the special teams angle of the
NFL.
Yeah,
he's got some good thoughts coming up.
And towards the end of the show, I'm bringing back Showcase, Casey Valia. He's going to go for our Final Four theme segment because we are behind Purdue. We are behind what they're going to get into tomorrow night, win this national championship. So I'm fired up. So in honor of that, we will have that Final Four theme thing with the Colts twist on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to take some of the top four plays, if you will, from the Colts season last year, and we're going to seed them. See who wins.
Big plays coming up. Things to look forward to in 2024 as well. But I said it earlier, Maytay, this is a big one. Earlier in the week, reportedly signing Julian Blackman, according to the Indy Star and the NFL Network, among others. Blackman, listen to this. Here's the deal, Maytay. 46 out of 50 games he has started.
Yeah.
Good player. I know he's been sitting out there on the couch for a minute.
Right.
He took some trips elsewhere and on. Chris Ballard said, hey, we need this guy back. But certainly at this time, with that experience in the defensive backfield with a bunch of young guys around,
exactly.
Not including Kenny Moore, though. Big signing. I love it for the leadership angle of it.
Yeah, I love it, too, from the continuity standpoint. It means one more starter is back. All 11 starters from last year's defense are back. And like you said, he's a great player when he's been healthy. You know, last year played 99% of the snaps before the shoulder injury on Christmas Eve down in Atlanta. And just a leader, one of the biggest voices on the team. He can play multiple positions, a willing tackler. I think he's one of the best safeties in the game. I think it's unfortunate for him that the market wasn't higher on him, but it's good for the Colts that they got him back, and they got him back at market value.
Hey, he's playing strong safety, Maytay. Who's over at free, you think?
Well, it's probably a three-man race as of right now. You've got Nick Cross, Rodney Thomas, Daniel Scott. Don't forget about him,
sure.
a draft pick last year. He was hurt all of last season. The Colts are really high on him, according to Chris Ballard. Stayed engaged all of last year on the practice field, stayed around, took part in meetings. You still have Ronnie Harrison. He was a safety before the Colts moved him positionally to linebacker. He moved back to safety towards the end of last year when Julian Blackman got hurt. But no matter who's back there, the Colts have to – they've got to limit the big plays for next season. That was kind of their undoing last year. I'm convinced, Jeffrey, that if Blackman plays – in week 18, that game against the Texans, I think the Colts are in the playoffs. I think they win that game. So getting somebody to pair with Blackman, that's going to be, you know, a huge offseason storyline for me as the guys get ready to report in a couple of weeks.
And obviously some of those positions that we were talking about could be filled by this upcoming draft. Don't worry, it's coming. 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. Let's have some fun tonight rather than what's coming up in the April draft at the end of the month.
All right.
Let's play a little game here, okay? I'm going to call it, oh, yeah, or oh, no.
Okay.
All right? It's pretty simple. I just need answers out of you, Maytay.
Oh,
you're
going to
give me a oh, yeah, or an oh, no. So I know we're walking a fine line here. So
I'm with you.
With
I'm with
here.
You so far.
The youth of the cornerbacks.
Okay.
Think about what I'm saying there now.
Yep.
Young players. Guy like Juju Brents, people are leaning on him right there. Had some injury stuff happening. See what we got out of Jalen Jones. Those young players, rather, in the secondary, okay? Are they feeling about the good about the young corners right now? And will there be some depth that's added in this upcoming draft?
So I got to go, oh, yeah, or oh, no.
Yeah, just try it. Let's give it a shot.
All right. Yeah.
That's what you're going with.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a right to feel good about those corners. But again, you know, some strong defensive players and stud cornerbacks in the draft are going to be pushed down to the Colts in the middle of that first round, because you're going to have that big run of offensive players at the top of the draft. So there's a lot to like about Brents and Flowers and Jones, but again, I don't think that should preclude the Colts from drafting an impact player in the secondary if he separates himself on the Colts draft board. So there's a lot of potential with those young guys, but the Colts are trying to win, and they're trying to win big in 2024.
Let's
so if
go.
That guy's there and you love him, let's take him.
Health is everywhere. If you're watching mock drafts out there, some of the so-called experts have a Colts taking a cornerback at 15. So more will be revealed right here. Speaking of the draft, how about Mel Kiper? We're nearing this draft. It's almost here. And Kiper has said some advice to the Colts is address the defense first, meaning at the 15 mark,
yep.
Then give Anthony Richardson another weapon on offense after that. Kiper has the Colts taking a quarterback. We just talked about it. He's one of many in the first round who are doing that because of the depth of the receivers in this draft, Mate. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
He's confident the Colts can find that quality wideout in round two or beyond after snatching up the blue chip corner in round one. You like Mel Kiper's strategy, and keep in mind, he has been at odds with some front office personnel of the Colts in years past.
There's some history there. Yeah, you might want to check that on out on YouTube.
I think it was, what, 84 or 85 or something like that?
Here's my answer, okay?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Oh, no.
I'm very much on the fence. I'm also, oh, no. I don't know where I don't know how
I feel
about
that. How
long
can you sit on that freaking fence?
I know.
I'm saying it's going to get uncomfortable.
I just think it depends on the draft board because I think he's right. Inevitably, there's going to be some wide receivers available with the 15th pick, but there's also going to be some corners and defensive ends there, too. So, to me, it just boils down to if the Colts have a cluster of receivers with a similar grade on them, mm-hmm. I would probably wait until Friday to take a receiver because there's probably not going to be a cluster of defenders with similar top grades on them that are still going to be around on day number two.
And when you talk about day number two, you're talking about rounds two and three.
Right.
And on a Thursday night, I believe it's the 25th, that would be the first round only.
Yeah, so I think in principle it makes sense, but it's all about how the Colts set up that draft board and the grades they have on those wideouts.
Okay, let's find it out. Now, healthy Jonathan Taylor, the big uglies up front, Colts offense, I'm telling you, could be scary. Now let's step back a little bit. We're talking about the cornerback position, one of the greatest to play the position. Positions for the Colts. You talk about being coveted when he came over here from the Miami Dolphins. I'm talking about Vontae Davis. And unfortunately, Vontae passed away earlier this week, but so many great stories are coming out of the locker room. My first thought was that smile. He wasn't always gung-ho to talk to the press and stuff,
yeah.
But he talked to you off on the side and everything. He just said, hey, I'm going to show up. I'm going to do my thing. And a great leader because a lot of the young guys I always remember around Vontae's locker, that was the gathering point. That was the safe place for him. They'd go there and sit around there during media time or in between meetings before they took the practice field. But that smile, that laugh, and not only that, he was a lockdown corner, Mate.
Yeah, I'm with you. The personality obviously is what rings true first and foremost. But on the field, I just remember him being dominant. That 2014 season, that playoff run for the Colts all the way to the AFC Championship game, he was dominant. He completely shut down half the field in Denver in that divisional round win against Peyton Manning. I mean, I looked it up. That season, Davis went 25 straight games without giving up a touchdown
Ooh.
In coverage. I remember just how tough he was fighting through injuries. I go back to 2016. He played banged up that entire season, only missed two games that year. So I'm going to remember Vontae Davis very highly. Obviously, a great professional, great player. Just a great person. Rest in peace.
Absolutely. And thoughts and prayers are out with the family, obviously. Wish we could do more than that and somehow have him not gone. But Vontae Davis, you will always be remembered for the great times and the great years you had wearing the horseshoe. Okay, when we come back here on The Last Word, we're going to hear from the Colts special teams coordinator, Brian Mason, who reacts to the new NFL kickoff rules. Is he pulling his hair out? Is he doing backflips? We're going to find out. These rule changes and the strategy, it's going to be different. And as Mate said, I agree with him, more scoring is coming. That and a whole lot more right here on 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
This is why.
We now return to the offseason home of the Colts, The Last Word, with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor from the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio.
Hey, don't forget, Colts fans, you got to check out Behind the Colts. The offseason documentary-style program includes never-seen-before footage and unique access behind the curtain to the personalities and events that shape this team. Now, well done. I'll tell you what, the content team – Another great one. First one was on Shane Steichen. Upcoming episodes include Chris Ballard and his football operations staffs getting ready for this upcoming draft. Also, Anthony Richardson in his hometown, Michael Pittman Jr. on his Indiana farm, a whole lot more. Dwight Freeney into Canton. We've got it out there. Be sure to check out Behind the Colts. Everything you need at Colts.com, the Colts app, as well as social media channels everywhere. Brian Mason, this special teams coordinator, as I said, is he doing backflips? Is he pulling his hair out? Who knows? Every team in the NFL is now thinking about strategy, personnel, and roster construction with these new changes in mind. So Brian Mason shared a few thoughts earlier this week regarding the changes to the kickoffs. He first of all said the new kickoff rule will change the personnel that he uses on kickoff return and kickoff coverage teams from 1 year to the next.
I think you could certainly see, because there's less running, right, you could see on the kickoff team, teams using maybe some of their better defensive players, maybe guys that weren't normally on kickoff, they're playing more on defense because there's less running involved, and you want to get as many good tacklers as you can on the field, knowing that teams are going to have more opportunities to generate returns and better offensive starting field position. As you look at kind of in the XFL, you know, this could be different because there's a little bit different with the spacing. But from a returner standpoint, a lot of the returners were more like punt returners, running backs, guys that could make guys miss in short space. You could certainly see the return game kind of be geared more towards, you know, instead of guys with long build-up speed, guys that are better in short space, making guys miss, being elusive like a running back or a punt returner would be. And you could certainly see, because there's less running and less drop zone, some bigger players on the kickoff return team that maybe weren't on kickoff return in the past.
Matey, he said something that's got my interest peaked.
All right.
Am I seeing Quentin Nelson returning kickoffs?
I don't think.
Is that what we're talking about? DeForest Buckner?
No, I don't think
you're
going to go that
far. He's talking
about
bigger personnel now.
He is talking about bigger personnel, but I think he means more more linebackers
on the
field. And he brings up something really, really intriguing right there. Do you want your best tacklers on the field, mm-hmm. right? That means maybe more starters on defense covering kicks because they understand leverage. That's something you're going to have to contend with. And also when it comes to returning kicks, you want speed, yes, but you also need guys, Jeffrey, that have good vision, that just see the game, like running backs, mm-hmm. right? Are you going to see more running backs returning kicks? So who you have on the field both ways on the kickoff now is going to be totally different, I think, based on you know, the new structure of this play.
All right, personnel will change according to Brian Mason. Here he talks about the impact of the new kickoff rules will have on field positions for the upcoming season.
Definitely impact offensive field position positively. So if you look at the XFL, and the XFL, the average starting field position was right around the 30-yard line. Last year, the average starting field position in the NFL was the 25-yard line. So already, just by doing the XFL model, would give the offense 5 yards better field position on average. Really just talking with Sam Schwartzstein, who came up with the XFL model, and we had an opportunity to talk with him. He really believed that usually the average starting field position will be wherever that setup zone kind of is. So we tweaked the XFL model, moving the setup zone further up and the kickoff team further up. So it's slightly different than what you would see in the XFL model, which would mean that really if that were the true formula based on their XFL numbers, the offensive average starting field position would be like the 35-yard line. So that'd be 10 yards better than what it was last year on average in the NFL, which may lead to some teams, if you know they are routinely giving the ball up at the 35-yard line, they may kick more touchbacks to then bring it back down to the 30. But in some way, shape, or form, you're going to see better offensive starting field position, I think, with the new model.
Matey, tough question to you. The average, do you think it will be closer to the 25-yard line start or the 40-yard line start with these new rules?
I think it's going to be more like the 35 or the 40 routinely.
Okay, shorter field means more points in the way I'm doing my math.
That's exactly right. That's like an extra first down to get yourself into a scoring threat. That means more field goals. That means more points. And it's expected that more than 80% of kickoffs are going to be returned next year compared to less than 22% last year. So the game just became more exciting. A boring play just became, you know, more part of the game. It's going to be more exciting for the fans. And I think, again, you're going to see teams really prioritize getting the right returners. I think you've got a chance to really have an edge there, especially, again, like we talked about last week. If you're down on the scoreboard late in the game and you need to get into field goal range to tie the game or to take the lead, all of these games come down to the last 4 minutes anyways. Now it just became even more exciting because of potential for big plays in this game.
It may be confusing, fans, but I promise you it's going to make for a better product. It really is, in my opinion,
well, with
a safer product as well.
No question. So I think it checks all the boxes for the NFL. The game is safer. You take away the high-speed collisions. It's more interesting for the fans. It's more potential for big plays. With just how fast teams can move the ball down the field now and the accuracy on long kicks from these kickers nowadays, I think you're going to see scoring way up next year.
Hey, thanks,
I really do.
Thanks to Coach Brian Mason for sitting down with us earlier in the week to talk about that kickoff rule. NFL fans, they like what they like. They like their peanut butter and jelly with the ends cut off, and they like it the same way week in and week out. Now they're serving roast beef sandwiches, and the NFL fans going, hey, what the flip here? All right. Hey, when we come back, we're going to give you the Forum Credit Union question of the week regarding Michael Pittman Jr.'s 1,000-yard season in the NFL. We're also going to have some fun with our Final Four-themed last segment. Showcase Valier, he's coming in. We're ranking the four best plays from the Colts 2023 season, and we're getting you excited for what's to come in 2024. Mate on the call for those. Don't miss it. Coming back air on The Last Word, 93.5, 107.5 The Fan.
Can't get enough football? You're in the right place. This is the off-season radio home of the Indianapolis Colts. The Last Word with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor from the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio.
Last Word brought to you by our friends at Meijer, official supercenter of your Indianapolis Colts and proud sponsor of hundreds of local sports teams across the Midwest. Steel Wheelers right there. Good pull there, mate. I like that.
Steel Wheelers.
Is that what it is?
Steelers Wheel.
Steelers Wheel.
Steelers Wheel.
Whatever. You
Friday.
Get it. Hey,
whatever, man.
Time now, Forum Credit. Come on in here. Showcase. By the way, put your mic on. We're going to give this to you.
Ta-da.
Forum Credit Union question of the week. Last season, Michael Pittman Jr. became the fourth player in franchise history to have multiple 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Who are the other three receivers to do this in Colts history? And if you two guys don't get this, I'm walking out of this freaking studio and I'm throwing eggs at your car, okay? Because we're talking about three guys
play
plus Michael Pittman. Go ahead.
Play the hits, Case.
Marv.
There's one.
Reg.
There
yeah.
It is.
And it's got to be T.Y.
Dallas.
And it is T.Y. Ooh,
dude,
good call.
Okay.
I was wondering about that.
I
but
guess
Dallas,
tight end, so receiver.
No, it's a receiver. I mean,
gotcha.
They're
okay.
How about that, guys? I
egg-free today driving home.
I know. I dragged my foot on that one. I screwed it up. But anyway, visit the Forum Credit Union Fan Forum section at Colts.com. Interact with other fans online. You can post a topic and participate in various discussions regarding your Colts Forum Credit Union, helping members live their financial dreams. Congratulations, Marvin, Reggie, and T.Y. and Michael Pittman. You guys know what you're doing on the football field. Time now for our Final Four. We are going to highlight some calls from last year. Biggest plays of the season. Mate is on the call. Showcase, you are the deciding factor here.
Wow.
We have a number one seed, two seed, three seed, and four seed.
Right. In honor of Purdue in the Final Four.
Honor
right?
of Zach Edey and Purdue.
That's
and Matt
right.
Painter, heads off to you, pal. What a job. What a job. All these great stories about Matt Painter coming out. So happy for the guy.
Yeah.
A good guy finishing first here, Case.
Hey, I'm a Purdue guy, so I'm all about it.
Hell,
keep it coming. Keep the Matt Painter stuff coming.
Had a chance to go to Phoenix, but you didn't, so you're not that big of a Purdue guy.
Watching from your couch. First time in 44 years. A lot of urgency over there.
I'm not going to go. I'm going to stay in Noblesville. All right, here we go. Number one seed. It is Michael Pittman's walk-off TD in Nashville.
Second down and goal at the four. Minshew out of the gun. Shotgun snap. Looks to his right.
Got
in the end zone. Throws Michael Pittman. Touchdown. Touchdown, Michael Pittman. Michael Pittman into the end zone from Gardner Minshew, and the Colts win 31-28 in Nashville.
That
yes,
is,
sir.
That's the number one seed right there, Mate. Conflict of interest, you can't vote. It's going up against It's going up against the four seed, which is Josh Downs seals it for the Colts when they played the Patriots in Germany.
2 minutes and 52 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Colts lead by four. They need here 36. Minshew looking left. Good protection in his own end zone. Dancing, rolling to his right, throws off his back foot, downfield, has a man who dives for the football, who makes the grab. The Colts have it with Josh Downs. Are you kidding me? Gardner Minshew, you're a rock star, and Josh Downs with the best catch of his young career for a first down across the 30-yard line.
Josh Downs will be dangerous this year. Showcase Valier, what do you like? The number one seed with Pittman's walk-off in Nashville or Josh Downs sealing it in Germany?
You know, that Josh Downs call gives me chills every time because I remember sitting here and waiting. TV was behind. I was watching. But I think I got to give the nod to Michael Pittman just because of what it all means. I mean, Michael Pittman gets the big contract. He is your guy. I think I give the nod to Michael
All right,
Pittman.
Number one seed moves on. Now we got the two taking on the three. Mate, this one was a good one. The number two seed, Matt Gay, the historic day and game winner in Baltimore.
He'll put it down at the 43-yard line. So this, again, is a 53-yard field goal from Matt Gay. It's between the hash marks. Sanchez will put it down. Luke Rhodes will snap it. Measuring the kick is Gay. Waiting on the long snap. There it is. Placement. Kick is on its way. It has the distance. It's up. And it is good! Ball game! I-N-D-Y!
Hey, that's going to be tough to beat right there. Great call, Mate. That's the two seed. Matt Gay making history and getting the game winner in Baltimore. It's going up against the number three seed, and that was Anthony Richardson's when he exploded in Houston.
And running right side is Anthony Richardson. Faked the reverse. Turns the corner. He's in. Touchdown! Touchdown! I-N-D-Y! Three rushing touchdowns in the first two games for Anthony Richardson. He faked the reverse and then took it off right side into the end zone from 15 yards out, and the Colts have two touchdowns on their first two drives of the game.
Mate, you're giving me chicken skin. I'm getting all excited over here listening to those calls.
And those were 6 months ago.
I know. I'm getting excited here. Case, what do you think? You like Matt Gay's historic day with the winner in Baltimore, or do you like Richardson when he had the big day in Houston?
I think I'm going to go with Richardson because of what it means down the road. You get a glimpse of what the future might look for, so I'm going Richardson.
Apologies to Matt Gay and his entire family, because Casey, you butchered this one, pal. I'm just telling you, and the call alone. Okay, here we go. So that means Anthony Richardson exploding in Houston. That moves on. It's going up against Michael Pittman's walk-off TD in Nashville. And for the final, here we go. Mate, it's up to the Casey Valier. Give us it. You've got a one and playing a three seed right here. In honor of Purdue, what do you like?
I'm going to go with the three seed and Anthony Richardson because you know how important the quarterback spot is. If we have more of that, I think that is what the future is going to hold. So I'm going AR.
You like Connecticut too, don't you?
I like Purdue. Go Bulldogs.
Don't you look at you there, don't you?
Well, see, if you want to play in that way, UConn was the number one overall seed. Purdue was the third number one seed of the tournament. So I'm going to go Purdue and Anthony Richardson.
There you
That's
go. Great.
Mate,
by
good
the way,
logic right
great
there.
Calls, pal. I could listen to those all day. Seriously, I love it. Well done on you. Sorry you couldn't vote again. Conflict of interest.
Right.
But
I'm Switzerland over
we're
here.
We're going to have more of that coming up. I give Casey a little bit of guff, but he really is a Purdue fan. The whole family's a Purdue fan for long. This to you this weekend, watching this happen, obviously with Gene Katy never having a chance to get this far with a team.
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. I never thought, honestly, being a Purdue fan, I never thought we would get here. Mm-hmm. I watched so many times where, you know, it's whether it's Fairleigh Dickinson or St. Peter's, it's always
North
seems like,
Texas.
Yeah, I mean, all you can go down the line. I mean, it's quite a bit. So I never thought they would get here. The rest of this is gravy for me as a Purdue fan right now because this is the first time I can experience a Final Four. Excited to be there.
Just,
yes.
No matter what happens, it's okay.
It's been a great year. It's been a lot of fun. But, I mean, I'd love to see him continue, but it's been a great year.
I want to kick him out of the studio right now. I really do. He's already said it doesn't matter what we
want. No.
Fight some venom. You're in the door. You better freaking open it, pal, is what I'm saying. Mate, give me your Purdue thoughts. I know you're an IU guy when it comes to basketball.
I am. I had a beautiful cousin who passed away this time last year, and he was an enormous Purdue fan. So from the heavens above, he is guiding all of this. He's pulling all the strings. So God bless you, Tim Getty, and go Purdue.
And
go Purdue,
Purdue
like
right.
hell.
Casey,
right.
good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
All the family will be watching, and Mate, same to you, and wonderful a good tribute to a friend. I remember when he left us last year, and obviously the Purdue ties are there. So best of luck to everybody in West Lafayette. For Matt Taylor and Casey Valier, I am Jeffrey Gorman. Coming up, the Pacers and the Thunder. That means Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden are coming in to take on those Pacers. Folks, have a great weekend. Go Purdue. We'll talk to you next week.
Is it strange or should change? I don't know. Why don't you ask her? Is it strange or should change? I don't know.